This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, WABC radio host of More Money, coming right after this show on many of these same stations. He also hangs out with FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. So welcome back, kids. Liz, Tuesday is Super Tuesday. Why do I care?
What is so important about it? Because it will put an end, presumably, to any pretense of an ongoing Republican primary. It's impossible to imagine that Nikki Haley will continue to campaign in the remaining primaries because Donald Trump will walk away with most, I think, all the states probably on Super Tuesday, and that will be that, presumably. So I really don't know any path forward for her beyond that. So I think that's good, because then Donald Trump can move to the general election. That has very profound implications in terms of fundraising. And frankly, he needs that. He needs to raise some money at this point. And in terms of Joe Biden, he's presumptive candidate also. So let the games begin. Let's get this out of the way and let's get on to the general election, because that's where we are.
Steve Moore, our pal super economist Larry Lindsay wrote a very interesting piece this past week showing that he looked at the Federal Election Commission's numbers on donors. Okay, donors. And guess who, by I think 3-1, gets the most donors of $200 or less? And guess who gets the most donors from millionaires or more? Republicans. Republicans are the rich people in America. Oh, wait a minute. The numbers don't bear that out.
Yeah, it was a fascinating. I did see that analysis, and he also talked about how he looked at the biggest donor base for Joe Biden is guess what occupation?
Actually, it's professors.
Lawyers.
Professors.
University professors.
Yeah, it's professors. I love that.
It dovetails well with the thing we did at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity on the super elite. It's clear that people who, went to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and are university professors and so on, they're living in a kind of different America than working class Americans. I want to make one point about Nikki Haley. I've always liked Nikki Haley. I think she's fine. And I think she's doing herself great damage by staying at, this race. I think all she's doing is really alienating herself from any political future. So if I were advising her, I'd say get out if she wants a political future. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I just think she looks silly right now.
I agreed with it 3 months ago.
Yeah, you're right. She should have gone out a long time ago.
Look at her percentages have gone down.
Yeah.
Right? She said.
Oh, by the way, one other quick thing. I was kind of disappointed that Trump, in which state was that where he won 60-40? South Carolina. I said, I'm surprised that Trump only got 60%. But then my friend John Fund, who's much more of an expert on policy than I am, made the point that I would like to know how many of those 40% that Nikki Haley got were Democratic voters. If you take out the Democratic voters, I would bet, and this is just a hunch on my part, that Trump probably won 75-80% of the Republican vote.
That's why she had great hopes for South Carolina. It wasn't because she was going to win the Republican vote in South Carolina, but in the Democrat primary, only about 113 or 130,000 Democrats voted, meaning there are about 350,000 who voted in that primary in 2020 who could have come over and voted for her, and probably some of them did. So when people kept referencing the polls and comparing that to actually what the vote total was on the day, I thought that was really disingenuous, because the polls, I think, mostly reflected likely Republican voters, not, you know, the combination.
Well, some of them were all included. They put in dummy variables based on last year's or 2022 turnout.
The other big thing that's going on, though, that is really causing my Democratic friends to really hyperventilate, is that, you know, look, it's early. We've got 9 months before this election. But Trump is winning by 8 in Georgia. Mm-hmm. He's winning by 3 or 4 points in Michigan. He's tied in Pennsylvania, and he's winning in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And if those numbers hold up, Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States.
So hold on. Here's the front page, New York Times. Voters doubt Biden's leadership and favor Trump. That's the Times Siena poll finds. Shane Goldbacher is writing this up. Now, so they've got him +5, but it's very interesting here. Only 1 in 4 voters think the country is moving in the right direction.
Wow.
More than twice as many voters believe Biden's policies have personally hurt them as helped them.
Wow.
It gets better. Seriously.
Wow.
Share of voters who strongly disapprove of Biden's handling of his job has now reached 47%, higher than in time Siena polls at any point in his presidency. Now, here's something that's very interesting. Mr. Trump's ability to consolidate the Republican base is better than Mr. Biden, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that Trump has unified the base of his own party, and it shows up starkly in the current thinking of 2020 voters. Trump is winning 97% of those who say they voted for him four years ago.
Wow.
97%. And virtually none of his past supporters said they are casting a vote for Biden. In contrast, Biden is only winning 83% of his 2020 voters, with 10% saying they now back Trump. Now, that's interesting, because people were yapping. A lot of dumb yapping was going on about how, you know, Nikki Haley got 40% and Trump can't unify the party.
Right.
That is just not true.
It is.
Once again, yapping at the moment. I'm not going to name the yappers, but I'm just saying, you know, this is the New York Times, right? A very far right conservative newspaper who is dying to endorse Donald Trump for president. Not. But this is their poll. The Siena poll is a pretty good poll, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Think about the Democratic coalition, the traditional Obama Democratic coalition, young voters. We did a piece on your show when you were not in the other night talking about Gen Z, which is overwhelming now approving of Donald Trump's presidency. I find that unbelievably shocking, because young people traditionally are left-leaning anyway, and they sure hate Donald Trump. Apparently not so much anymore. Black voters, we know that that's gone from like 94%, I don't know, in some polls down to certainly low 70s. And Hispanics, definitely a majority in some polls. The Democratic coalition is fractured right now. Add in the Palestinian issue, holy moly. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, they have a problem. And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just don't think there are enough university professors in this country to
swing it.
President.
I know. See, he's
can I just make one other quick point? Trump has been so much on his game, you know, in the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. And if we'd been talking, when we were talking 6 or 9 months ago, there was great, you know, a lot of doubt about whether Trump could put it together again. And he has. And it's been a great, had dinner the other night with Jason Miller. He's run a fantastic campaign. Mm-hmm. It's been professional. Trump, I've always said there's a good Trump and bad Trump. And all we've seen for the last 6 months, with maybe a couple exceptions, is the good Trump.
You know, here's the Siena poll. Biden and Trump were dead even among prized independent voters, drawing 42% each. See, that's a big win for Trump, because everybody's telling us Trump can't win independent voters. That was Nikki Haley's argument. And the left-wing commentariat bought into it. And then it says over and over again, the Times Siena poll revealed how Mr. Trump has cut into more traditional Democratic constituencies, while holding his ground among Republican groups. The gender gap is no longer benefiting Democrats. Women who strongly favored Biden 4 years ago are now equally split, while men gave Trump a 9-point edge. The poll showed Trump edging out Biden among Latinos, and Mr. Biden's share of the black vote is shrinking, too. There. I mean, that's something. All right.
You know what? I don't believe that last part. I just continue to think that the game changer, and I hope I'm wrong about this, is the abortion issue, which Republicans still haven't really come up with a plan. And I just don't think that the gender. I do think there is a gender gap, and we got to figure out how we're going to talk about that issue.
I believe everything in the New York Times. I believe everything they write, especially when I.
So here's a question for you guys. Today, the New York Times had a front page article about unemployment in California, which I thought, which is high, by the way, really high in some parts of California, defying the national trend. Mm-hmm. So my question reading this was like, okay, wait a minute. They don't want Joe Biden. They've made that pretty clear, I think, by fact checking him and doing things that cause liberals' hair to go on fire. Why are they also going after Gavin Newsom? Because this is not a good week for him with this whole brouhaha about carving out bread bakers his minimum wage hike.
Panera.
But now we yes, I mean, but theoretically other dough makers too. I mean, it's such a silly story, but you know, total corrupt pay for play Democrat state kind of thing. But here we also have an article, pretty long article, about how California can't provide employment. I found that kind of surprising. Who are they aiming for if not Gavin Newsom? What is the New York Times hoping will emerge in this Democratic race? I have no idea.
They want Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan.
$20 an hour. $20 an hour minimum wage. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
$20. I got to take a break. We can come back and do $20 an hour. There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Well, some of the senators want $50 an hour.
By the way, I want to talk to you about these Republicans that don't want to cut taxes in the Senate. That's another thing.
Liz Peek, Fox News
contributor. Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And he's got his WABC radio show. It's called More Money. And it follows this show on many of these same stations. I'm Kudlow. Be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm talking money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, and Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and WABC radio host More Money, following this show on many stations. Steve Moore, what's wrong with Senate Republicans? They don't want to cut taxes. I don't get it.
Yeah, not only, you mean they don't necessarily want to cut taxes, but some of them are talking about raising taxes. And that is, you know, has become, you know, our commanding height in the budget debate is never agreeing to a penny of new taxes. I mean, you and I go back to when Ronald Reagan agreed to, remember the $3 of spending cuts, Larry, for $1 of tax increases. And Reagan spent the next 7 years saying, when am I going to get those $3 of spending cuts? There's a naivete of some of these Republicans who think somehow that raising taxes is going to reduce the deficit. That's not good. We have to get control of spending. And then, Larry, we have to get growth up to 3.1%.
Mm-hmm.
If we get growth up to 3.1%, you start to bend the curve down. And the economy, you know, grows faster than the debt. And that's what I want to see.
I'd be careful here, though. A lot of this opposition is to the child tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, we put this was part of the Trump plan, and it was designed to help families. It's not a bad thing. Now, if it's runaway and there's no this and no that, and I know there's work requirements that always could be strengthened. But basically, as I read it, the child tax credit, which is part of the deal with Jason Smith and Ron Wyden in the Senate, it's basically indexing it for inflation. That's the key part. And I don't think Republicans should necessarily knee-jerk oppose pro-family legislation, including tax laws. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Just to clarify, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about some of these Senate Republicans saying they would go for a budget, a deficit reduction deal.
Oh, that's crazy. That's the Mitt Romney nonsense. Yeah. No, that's a tax trap. But I mean, this bill, which would extend immediate expensing and write-offs of research and development, things that help business, which help jobs and help workers, and you throw in the child tax credit. I mean, Liz, the GOP sometimes, you know, they don't know how to compromise, or they don't know how to merge interests, or it all has to be black and white, and it shouldn't be.
Well, it sailed through the House, Larry. I mean, the good news is Republicans in the House are on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me, reading between the lines, that Senate Republicans were just miffed that they weren't part of the chefs in the kitchen, that they kind of felt left out. I mean, it's so stupid, because I agree with you. This bill looked, on the surface at least, and to my sort of untrained eye on the arcana of tax legislation, like a very good deal. I mean, again, good stuff for business, making some tax cuts permanent. And yes, finally, Republicans have something to brag about coming out of the House that's good for average working families. I mean, what's wrong with that?
So you've got Mark Wayne Mullen, yes. J.D. Vance, yes. Todd Young, yes. But you've got, a lot of friends of ours, Ron Johnson being one of them. I don't know. Mike Crapo hasn't figured it out yet. Crapo will reach the right decision. I know he will, because he's a very smart man. Tom Tillis, no. Ron Johnson, no. Mitt Romney and Mike Lee of Utah, who have backed other child tax credit expansions? No. That's crazy. Come on.
I don't get that
at all.
This
is from the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Has always backed child tax credits. I don't understand that.
Well, they're losing their mind. That's what happens, modern day America. You just kind of lose your mind. So we're going to do away with this. Another big event coming up this week is the sparkling State of the Union message by our president. You know, he is the only president we have, and he's going to deliver a State of the Union message, Liz. You excited about that?
I'm really depressed about it, because I know he's going to come out and blast. This has already been leaked. Blast the 1%. Talk about how the wealthy are getting away with murder, which you and I and Steve can argue till our face turns blue, but nobody's going to really pay any attention. It sells to the masses, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, he's going to blame greedy corporations for shrinkflation, which the New York Times, again today, tried to do a very valiant job to uphold, but really kind of came away saying it's already been in place for a long time. But also, it's just a testament to, guess what, inflation. So it's going to be a lot of lies and divisive, and Joe Biden trying to regain his footing with that coalition that we discussed earlier by being sort of angry at everybody. And, you know, it is interesting. People don't like Joe Biden very much anymore. And by the way, I was going to say on Nikki Haley, biggest problem Nikki Haley has right now is her unfavorables have gone through the roof. People just don't like her right now.
She has only herself. Jesus.
Yeah, no, just I agree. But I'm just saying.
Sanctimonious. Nagging school teacher, waving her fingers at everyone. I mean, that's what she did. But, you know, first of all, Liz, I just want to respond. Joe Biden has to climb stairs to get to the podium.
Wow. Can he make it up there?
All right, so we're going to have to watch that very carefully. Now, Steve Moore, we can rebut all the things that Liz mentioned, the 1% and this and that. I mean, I don't know. You think that stuff's going to still sell? I don't believe it.
No, I think Americans, everybody in America wants to get rich. That's what our country is about. But it is just listening to what Liz was saying. It doesn't seem like that long ago when Joe Biden ran on a campaign of unifying the country.
Oh.
He does just unify our country.
Rich Lowry, the editor of National Review, great friend of ours, all of us, he was telling the story on the TV show before I had to go for cover. I was terrible cold. But he bought a McDonald's, bought fries and a milkshake, cost $17. Now, I don't know whether that's shrinkflation, inflation, Bidenflation. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of flation in $17 for a milkshake and French fries.
But you know what, Larry? I mean, this sort of suggestion from Joe Biden, and I've gone through the numbers twice. His suggestion that companies are profiteering and really just gouging the consumer is just not true. You should go back and look at all the big packaged food companies and what their gross margins were in 2018, 19. What happened to them as inflation began to just rev up their costs? They all took a big hit.
Yeah.
And basically, in every single case, their margins have barely come back to where they were, or close. But it is just a false narrative that this is all the greedy corporations. But guess what? Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, all these people are going to be out there hammering companies, looking into all their business transactions. It's a shame because it's not true.
Well, he hates business and he loves college professors.
Right, not enough of them.
What?
And they don't have enough money.
By the way, in that
$1 million campaign,
psychologists gave a lot of money to him. There's a whole laundry list of crazy professionals in that Larry Lindsay article. Anyway, we'll close it down, kids. Thank you ever so much. Liz Peek, as always, Fox News contributor. Steve Moore is coming up with more money on most of these same stations. I'm Kudlow, and we will be back next weekend. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.